Welcome to the MacGuffin Men. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Fried Chicken, the only meal that can make you look like the guy who ate too many chocolate bars in 30 seconds flat.
And now, here are Alex and James.
Welcome to the MacGuffin Men. I'm Alex. Sitting to my left is James.
Hey.
Hey.
I didn't see you there.
Really?
No, I did. Do you know the website Mother Jones?
No.
Never heard of it?
No.
Okay. Well, it's kind of a popular one. It might have come up.
Okay.
You've probably read an article or two on there without really taking note of it, but they do some pretty good articles. And a little while ago, they came out with a list of music that they were using at Guantanamo Bay and some other places to torture prisoners with.
Okay.
That was kind of one of the things they were doing, you know. They did it at Waco, but you play music really, really loudly, just on repeat for like days on end, and it drives people insane.
Yeah.
And there's people who've been through it who say that it's worse than like a bunch of the physical stuff, and it just is so excruciating and repetitive. But Mother Jones kind of did some research and put together a list of some of the music, like some of the actual song choices that they're using for it.
Yeah.
And it was pretty interesting. One really funny one was the I Love You song from the Barney the Dinosaur TV show.
Okay. I can't remember how that one goes, but knowing that it's from the Barney television show, I understand why that is annoying.
Yeah, and then they had songs by AC/DC, Pantera, like Nine Inch Nails, a lot of really heavy metal stuff too. But then they do, as I said, Barney, they did some Sesame Street theme song and stuff like that. And, you know, just...
What about Lamb Chops? This is the song that doesn't end. I feel like that would drive me insane in 3 minutes flat.
That'd probably be a pretty good choice.
That's a great choice. If you're listening, guys.
I'm sure you are. Yeah, I mean, people have had some different responses. Like, Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails isn't a fan of his music being used as torture.
Yeah.
Some people are pretty proud of it, to be honest.
Really? Well, yeah, yeah, I suppose.
James Hetfield of Metallica. Who I know you're a big fan of personally.
I mean, I really like the documentary Some Kind of Monster, and he's weird, but he was an alcoholic, so I mean,
And then they used
it's better than Lars. We'll give
I think everyone agrees. I think Lars agrees with that. They used White America by Eminem, Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen,
God.
Is a hilarious choice.
Yeah. Well, Born in the USA, I remember waking me up in university. We had people that lived above us that would play music really loudly early in the morning. And like 8 a.m. one morning, like the, you know how the Born in the USA starts with that huge drum?
Yeah.
And it was just so loud at like 8 in the morning, and it just woke me up. One drum, I'm like, what's going on? Second drum, what is happening? And then third drum, I'm like, oh my God, is this Born in the USA? So it was very bizarre.
Okay, but imagine that for 24 hours straight, really loudly.
Exactly, that would suck.
Yeah, but it's something that they've been doing for a while, and it seems to be working in the way that torture works, that insofar as people hate it.
Yes.
So they're not stopping anytime soon. And I thought if the U.S. military wanted to do like a multi-sensory repetitive torture thing, I think Twilight would be a good movie to show over and over.
Yeah, I think you can find worse, but there's definitely... It's
yeah, and with the female lead and the female director and the female author and everything, I could see maybe some Taliban not being the biggest fans of it.
Yeah, fair enough.
So we watched Twilight recently.
We did. We did watch it.
You'd seen it... Once or twice before?
I had seen it like 1.5 times before.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you liked it enough to watch it again?
Yeah. I mean, well, there's a difference between watching a movie sober and watching a movie in the condition I was when I initially watched Twilight. You know?
Like, yeah.
Watching it sober yesterday, I would not watch it again.
You're done sober. With it, you think?
I still think the first half is really, really funny.
It, yeah.
The second half gets really, really hard to get through.
Yeah.
But the first half is really funny.
Unintentionally so?
For the most part. Entirely, because the jokes that they try and use are so bad.
I think Bella gets one or two good ones in.
I don't know that they're jokes, though.
There's one, I'll try to remember it, but it's funny.
But yeah, and the second movie I turned off halfway through, which I almost never do, it was totally worthless.
Yeah.
Except for, well, I mean, I'm sure I'll bring it up later, but let's continue.
Okay. Just a bit of background, I'm sure.
Oh, and by the way, we're going to spoil Twilight.
Oh, yeah. I think it's pretty well spoiled for everybody.
Is it? I don't know.
Not much happens. But anyway, yes, we will be spoiling Twilight. I haven't seen any of the second or third or whatever they're on to now. And I haven't read a single word of the novels, but that's where these books did come from. So Twilight came out in 2008. And to me, I thought it seemed like it was longer than that.
It's like you were saying with the torture thing, and we've just been sort of bombarded constantly yeah, by media updates and casting stuff. And I remember in between Twilight and the sequel, New Moon, I saw like a news story every day about Taylor Lautner trying to keep his job, because like they were going to recast his role with somebody who was more buff, and his whole thing was like, I'm going to work out like crazy,
yeah,
and then I'm going to have a chest like Taylor Lautner, and then, they can't take this role away, and that's what he did, and that's kind of why Taylor Lautner is a cool guy, but yeah. Despite being terrible at his job, but
they suggested him for the new Jason Bourne.
Well, that's what he's in this movie coming up. There's like the MTV version of a Bourne movie.
Yeah, I know that.
I think it's directed by John Singleton, which is another weird thing about it. But I guess he's kind of had a weird career anyways. But yeah, and it was just sort of like we've been bombarded with Twilight, and that's why it feels like it's been longer.
Yeah.
There's never really been a lull in the cultural awareness of Twilight.
Yeah, because for a while she was releasing books and movies at the same time. So it'd be a book release and then a movie release. And as you were saying, in between all the movie releases, it's casting rumors. I mean, when it's a movie this big, it's not even just news stories about things that have been decided. The blogosphere is just like, it should be this guy, or this should be the girl who plays this vampire. Yeah. Or if I knew their names, I'd probably be better at that.
And, and I mean, another aspect of that is that the movies come out so damn quick that there's just, before like the DVD advertisements for Twilight Faded, New Moon trailers were out on TV, you know?
So yeah, I mean, and this isn't the first time that we've had the vampire thing.
No. Well, people talk about the vampire thing like it comes in waves, but it doesn't. It's just always there. Like, people are always interested in vampires.
Where was it, like, late 90s, early 2000s?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, yeah, Buffy. Yeah. Yeah. I guess it was sort of bigger, like, Interview with the Vampire, Anne Rice, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then, but even in the late 80s, you had Lost Boys. I mean, you can go back at least to like 85 and you've got pretty consistent vampire media. Like it's sort of always been there. And I mean, just before that, I don't really know anything all that well. Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't, who knows.
But right now we're kind of in the thick of it because we do have True Blood on HBO, Vampire Diaries, another Kevin Williamson project.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally.
That one I will not be watching, I'm sure.
Okay, well, it's been around for a while. You haven't been watching it.
Well, I hadn't been watching Dawson's Creek, but it was airing on CW or whatever.
So yeah, I mean, in True Blood, Vampire Diaries, Twilight. I mean, Twilight's huge, though. It's kind of hard to overstate, at least within its demographic, how big this movie and book series was, right?
Yes, okay. I agree. Big deal.
Very popular. So Stephanie Meyer was the author of all the books. Just to go about how big this is, she was the second best-selling author of the decade after J.K. Rowling. Yeah. So, and we'll see a couple comparisons between the two of them, just as we said before, about a series of books that turn into a series of movies.
Female writers writing things I haven't read.
And just being very popular with the under 20. I mean, there are people over 20 who are very into Twilight as well. But
yeah, and Harry Potter.
But for the majority, that's kind of the MTV.
The target audience, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was a series of books. She's done all the books now, and I guess the movies are just about finished.
Yeah, Breaking Dawn Part 1 and 2 are, as far as I know, the end of it.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, we're not that well versed on Twilight.
No.
I don't feel the need to be.
That's fine.
Or the desire to be, at least.
Yeah. Watch the first half of New Moon and that desire will be totally gone. Because I was really excited to watch New Moon because I thought the first one was so funny.
So yeah, I mean, now that Harry Potter's done, it kind of makes sense that someone fills the gap with a new sort of franchise, right?
Well, and we're just talking books, right?
Because
Harry Potter will be done in July as far as movies, and Breaking Dawn will start its last installment in November. So, I mean, it's really not that big of a difference between when the movie franchises will end. But, it makes sense that there's always sort of one big piece of, you know, literature that tons of people flock to, right?
Yeah, and it is interesting that, I mean, they're kind of similar. It's a fantasy would be the genre to put it under.
Yeah.
series of books that turned into movies, that books and movies were both extremely successful in that demographic. Harry Potter started off pretty lighthearted.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about Harry Potter, really. I read half of the first book, and that was
okay.
Yeah.
But even, you can just tell, even by the posters and stuff, that visually and thematically, things are getting darker. I mean, a couple spoilers for some Harry Potter movies, which I haven't even seen, but Dumbledore dies, one of the lead characters. Things get a lot more violent and scary. I mean, there's obviously a villain in the first movie and book, but it got a lot darker and
serious. And I mean, the first two movies are directed by Chris Columbus, who did, like, Home Alone, I think, and then... Now we're getting, like, David Yates and, like, legitimate people directing these.
You are not real, Chris Columbus.
No. It's Chris Columbus. He made Home Alone, you know?
This is basically just going to be about the first Twilight, because, as we said, you couldn't even make it through the second one, and I didn't even try.
That's so bad.
But the first movie was pretty big. The subsequent ones have made a lot of money as well, but Twilight, the original one... Opening weekend was the biggest opening weekend for a female director.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah. Does that surprise you?
No, because, I mean, how many female directors are there? Like,
yeah.
Catherine Hardwicke, even now, like, after Twilight, kind of had trouble finding a job for a bit. You know, it's like her and Catherine Bigelow, and that's it.
Catherine Bigelow, I mean, Hurt Locker, I mean, it won Best Picture and everything, and was well-received by a lot of people, but it never made a lot of money.
No, no.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she has made movies that made money, like Point Break made money.
Yeah. So. Do you know... who she took the record from for biggest opening weekend by a female director for this?
Amy Heckerling?
It was in 1998.
Well, I'm not that guessing. My guess was Clueless, but 1998. Half-Baked? Tamara Davis or something?
No. Deep Impact.
Oh, Mimi Leader. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, she doesn't even do anything anymore. She was one of the other ones. Like, she had The Peacemaker with Clooney and Kidman.
Yeah, some very... I know.
Well, that one kind of bombed, and Deep Impact didn't do well either.
But. Right. And those were kind of action-y, not necessarily female-centric movies, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Not that most of Catherine Bigelow movies are either.
No, true. According to Fandango, this was the fifth highest sales for advance tickets.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Yep.
So much of Twilight is about those, like, midnight release parties and girls lining up at like 4 a.m. to get their DVDs and posters and stuff.
Yeah, well, it's the boy band fandom type of thing, you know, like
these
you're marketing towards fans that care about things more passionately than possibly any other type of fan.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be lining up for midnight screenings. I mean, not that I don't for movies I want to see, but I mean, I'm slightly less cautious about buying my tickets in advance, you know.
Yeah.
I still do, but it's not like, oh my god, I've got my ticket to Twilight. It's just like, oh my god, guys, I've got my ticket to Transformers, you know.
I'd like to see how much money, I was trying to find the figure, but I couldn't, if you were to break down like ticket sales versus merchandising too, because this is one of those movies that just has so much merchandising around it.
Okay.
And posters and like stationery and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Similar to the boy band thing, they just put that name on anything and people buy it, right?
Yeah.
So when the DVD came out, 3 million units sold on its first day.
That's many.
That's very many. Yeah. Very impressive. In theaters, the movie did $392 million globally.
Off of a budget of what, like $15 million?
Yeah, something around there.
Yeah. No, this is not a high budget movie at all.
Very nice return on investment there.
Well, and I think part of it is that they didn't expect it to be as big as it was. They expected it to make money. They did not expect this, I don't think.
Yeah, it's funny because MTV Films actually had the right to the book for a while, which seems like the perfect studio to make this movie. Especially considering what we now know about it, about how popular it's been and... I mean, it wins MTV Movie Awards and all that kind of stuff. They just said they could never get a good enough, what they felt would be a good enough script out of it.
Okay. But. Well, I don't think Summit got a good enough script out of it, but they made it work.
Exactly. So to this, these stats were from about a year ago, but still pretty impressive. 10 million units sold of the DVD and around $200 million. So.
Okay.
Not bad.
Yeah, no, it's doing okay.
As I said, it's won several MTV awards. It won a bunch of Teen Choice awards. It won a bunch of Scream awards, which are for horror, fantasy, sci-fi movies.
Okay.
Not Scream films.
Yeah.
And even the music from this movie got a little bit of love.
Well, the music is actually kind of legitimately good.
Yeah, so, okay, that was my question. We did have a couple laughs at that one song.
Yeah, there's this one song at one point in the movie that sounds like a folk song from, or sort of like a, you know, folk rock type of song from the 2000s that was passable. Like, musically, this song is totally passable. And then the singer sounds like Eddie Vedder in 1995. And it's just like, oh, and you can't tell what he's saying. It was unbelievable. It's so funny. We have to find this song and post it.
Yeah, we'll figure out the name.
Because it was so good. But other than that, like, pretty much every song in the movie is good. Like, the opening song is really good. I think it's by Black Ghosts or something like that, as Bella's going into the city.
Yep.
There's an Iron and Wine song I like in the movie.
Suggested by Kristen Stewart.
Really?
Yep.
good honor. And Radiohead closes the movie, you know? Like, the soundtracks of these, and I've listened to other soundtracks from the series, and they do fine with the music.
Okay. Yeah. What else do you think Twilight does well?
I don't know. I really don't.
You don't know?
Makes me laugh sometimes. Some of my hardest laughs came from watching Twilight. Because what Twilight is to me, and this has sort of like been my review since I first saw it, is that it feels like a digital short with a better budget that just doesn't end. Like, it's just
that last hour.
Yeah, exactly. Like, her voiceover in the beginning is so bad. She's like, I gotta leave with my mom. I guess I'll go live with my dad. One thing that's good about Charlie is that he doesn't linger and all this stuff. And it's like all these, and pretty much everything Robert Pattinson does is straight out of a digital short. Like when he's sitting there, like trying to not, I don't know, bite her or whatever.
Yeah.
They don't ever really establish what he's trying to not do. Like in biology class, he's just freaking out. Yeah. He's like, oh, I've got to leave immediately.
Yeah.
It's just,
he might be prematurely ejaculating. He
constantly
might be holding himself
for like
back.
A full class period.
Still cover. do you think that they do teenagers well at all?
No. Okay. The one thing,
it is a high school movie.
It's a teen movie and a vampire movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. I mean, usually like the teen movies, not.
No 25-year-old male has a bigger soft spot for teen movies than me, but it's just bad. It's really bad. Like, they've got all the things you need in a teen movie, I guess, but they're just also poorly done.
Yeah.
And, I can't like it. The one thing I do kind of like, and I mean, this doesn't necessarily mean I think she's a good actor, but I like Kristen Stewart's type of character. Like, I like the thing she tries to do when she's acting, which is sort of like the quiet, like, not confident type of thing. And, I mean, Bella's really annoying, and Kristen Stewart in this movie is not a good actress, but she's been better. Like, she was all right in Adventureland, but I just sort of like the type of character that she plays, and she's kind of unique in her acting style, I think.
In that she touches her hair and bites her lip.
She doesn't do it that much in Twilight, though. It's just Adventureland. She does it a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's weird because she's not a very good actress at all, but she's passable in Adventureland, and it's just sort of the type of person that she plays is something I think teen cinema kind of needs, because that's what a lot of teenage girls were like, you know, in my experience as being a teenager and talking to girls. So I don't know. I enjoy that she's trying to do it. I just wish she'd do it a little bit better.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that Adventureland was shot before Twilight.
I thought it was released before Twilight even, wasn't it?
I didn't think so.
Oh no, it probably wasn't. Yeah, Adventureland might have been delayed or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. But I thought that she got Adventureland from Twilight, but kind of.
Well, she did things before Twilight.
Yeah.
Just things we wouldn't have seen. Like, she was in that horror movie, The Messengers. She was Jodie Foster's daughter in Panic Room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah.
Do you like her dad in this movie? Think he's good? I kind of like him a little bit. I really don't just want to bash Twilight for this whole podcast, so I was trying to think of things that I did like about this movie.
What's that actor's name? Is it like Billy Burke or something
I'm
like
not
that?
Sure.
Okay, I'm pretty sure it's something like that. Like, I had seen him in Fracture, and he's in a season of 24, and he's fine. I mean, I don't know. I don't particularly like him, but it didn't do anything terribly awful.
I think that's what it is when I have to say my favorite things about Twilight are the things that aren't glaringly poor about Twilight. Can I tell you some of the things that I liked about this movie?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I know you didn't like the last hour of this movie, pretty much.
Yep.
Because that's when the unintentional comedy seems to not stop.
It's just,
it never stops.
Yeah.
But it certainly gets turned out a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm the most dangerous predator in the world.
Yes. Greatest line in cinema history. I think AFI just named it number one.
Our Pats crushes so much of it unintentionally.
He is so bad.
Okay, well, first of all, things I do like. He does look like a vampire. I don't think he's a great performer in this film.
Okay.
But I think he looks like a vampire.
All right.
I'll give him that.
Whatever. I don't know what a vampire looks like because it's a fictional creature, but...
That makes sense to me.
Fair enough.
I did kind of like near the ending where Bella starts getting hunted by James, the evil man-eating...
The evil ponytailed vampire.
Yeah. Looks like a wrestler to me.
He looks so much like... I know I've seen him in something else. I meant to research this, but yeah, I'm trying to figure out what it is. I think he might have been an Easy A or something like that. But
okay. The part where... They have to leave town because, you know, James is going to go to Bella's house.
Yep, yep.
I did like the part where she has to convince her dad that she has to go, but she can't explain why.
Okay.
And then she leaves kind of like it ends up her mom left and then her dad's all bummed out.
Okay. Yeah.
That part I thought was good.
All right. Fair enough.
And just that she couldn't explain it. That's kind of what I liked. Another thing that I understand was done well and I can't personally testify to this because I haven't read the book, but it is a 500-page book that gets condensed to a 2-hour movie pretty well, I understand.
Yeah, well, how big is the font in the book?
Again, I haven't read it, so I couldn't tell you. But when you have a book that has such diehard fans, making it to a normal-length film, I think, is very hard. So
yeah.
Someone was doing something right in that they didn't piss off a bunch of fans.
Yeah. I mean, there might be plenty of fans that are pissed off that
yeah.
you just don't hear about over the... loud screams of Team Edward and Team Jacob.
Yeah. Well, I tried to find it, and there definitely were some people who were upset about some things that got cut, but it seems like overall people are pretty happy with it. They did, you know, like you normally do when you have something like this, you combine some characters or combine some scenes or change things like that, and I think that's just a tough thing to do, and it seems that they did this one well enough.
Yeah.
And I do kind of like the part where they have to, well, not they have to, but they go to his house for dinner for the first time and they meet everybody and they're, all the vampires are cooking dinner for her, even though she doesn't eat.
Yeah.
That's
Or even though they don't eat.
Oh, so yeah.
She is human. She eats.
She does. Even though they don't eat, they're kind of preparing dinner for her.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of those things about vampires that I think. Not that point necessarily, but it's glazed over the idea of actually falling in love with a vampire and living with them.
Yeah.
Like some of those.
Those things, yeah.
Yeah, those things that don't always get addressed. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
All right, this one might be an easier question for you to answer.
Okay.
What do you think Twilight did poorly?
All of it.
Yeah.
Well, everything but being funny, unintentionally. I don't know, like, all of the characters that are not played by, like, all the, like, secondary, her friends in high school type of characters that aren't played by Anna Kendrick were super annoying.
Okay.
And, like, really gratingly annoying. And that's the type of the part of the movie that I would think I would like because it is the high school bit.
Yeah.
I
think Anna Kendrick can play a very good annoying person too, but she doesn't in this one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think she's kind of supposed to be a bit of an overbearing character, but it's just there's so much other shenanigans going on. It's just like these other actors are so bad. What it did poorly, the action is terrible. The editing is really sloppy.
Right. What don't you like about the action? Was it?
It's just really bad.
Like the fights are bad.
Yeah,
the
fights are bad. I guess the last fight is passable. I think it's sort of like the way they edit sort of like a motion blur.
Yeah.
And whenever Edward's like, I'm going to run really fast. And it's just like sort of him levitating quickly over like a plane. You know, like it's amazing, but so poor.
Yeah, they do kind of that thing we've talked about in the CGI 3D podcast, but when he seems to stretch when he's moving quickly, like when he's jumping up and down, when they're in the meadow or the woods there or whatever, he seems to stretch like 5 times.
And it's like, they're not even trying to do it well, even, you know, like, I feel like I could do that effect in 30 minutes, you know, like that's what it looked like to me.
Okay. You said you didn't like the editing.
Yeah. It's just a little slow, like specifically in action, the action. And when, that's what I was sort of getting at with the blur and whenever, or Edward would just sort of be like, I'm in this part of the tree. No, but now I'm in this part of the tree. Like that sort of thing. You know?
That part is silly.
Oh, that part was so bad. He's like, I've got to pour out my heart, but I can only do it one sentence at a time before I have to move. Before I have to switch tree branches.
Do you think it was a little too emo, or do you think that was keeping in tone with the book, or keeping in tone with what maybe our generation maybe was slightly less emo than the target market for this movie, and maybe that's why you didn't like some of the teen stuff as much?
No, because teenagers are pretty emo type of people.
Sure. Breakfast Club.
Yes, well,
slightly emo.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think my... Well, I mean, I have issues with the movie as a whole. So, yeah, I guess that generally leads to you kind of don't like the tone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, rarely do you hate a movie but like the tone.
True.
So, so I feel like the tone is appropriate for what they were trying to get across, this sort of, like, ridiculous, all-encompassing, totally non-existent type of love.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. Sure. Great. Good job with the tone, guys. You know? Like, you gave me the tone of a shitty movie, and you made a shitty movie, so it matches up.
Yeah, right off the get-go, I never gave much thought to how I was going to die, but to die for someone I love seems like a good way to go, or something like that.
That wasn't that bad. And then, like, they show the... deer or something getting killed, presumably by Edward or one of the Cullens, like, to eat.
Yeah.
Because they eat animals. Drink animal blood, sorry. And then I just assumed it would be some for, like, Edward or something that would come back to, that she dies for something she loves.
Yeah.
But she wasn't. She was sort of meaning her mom or her dad, right?
I don't know.
By the time it sort of comes around, like, this is when she's running away to basically save her family.
Right.
So I think that's kind of what that was. But, I mean, I don't know. By that point, this was like an hour and 45 minutes into the movie. I was just like, oh, God, I'm done. I'm done.
Just
I'm done.
Let this end already. I want to talk about the feminist angle, or the feminine angle of the whole movie, okay, at least. Stephanie Meyer, female author, female screenwriter, female director to this movie. Not mm-hmm. Stephanie Meyer, all those three things,
yeah.
But we mentioned them before. Female protagonist. You know, on paper, it does seem, you know, finally a movie by girls about a girl. For
yes.
girls, for the most part.
Yeah.
Not to insult any guys who like Twilight out there.
Yeah.
Or not to insult their sexuality, but to insult their taste in films. But you can be a guy and watch Twilight, that's fine. I just think you like a bad movie.
Yeah.
But that's it. And so it kind of seems like maybe a chance for, you know, a female-centric movie to do some good for the females. But it doesn't so well, right?
No. You say? I mean, she sort of... This guy stalks her, essentially. And I don't know. It's kind of... She's very submissive, I think.
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, there's a couple things. Just the way she is, she's kind of a quiet, submissive person. You know, that's fine. There are, as you said before, there are quiet, shy, non-confident girls in high school all the time.
Yes.
I'm not going to get mad for someone putting that character in a movie,
because
that makes a lot of sense. It really kind of just does come with her interaction with the other males in this movie that it starts getting bad.
Okay.
I mean, the way Edward treats her.
Yeah, well.
Kind of a total dick to her all movie.
Oh, yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, just doesn't really let her make her own decisions, tells her what she's thinking.
Like, no, it's this. Look at my hair. I glisten in the sun.
Well, that's why he never wears a watch. Edward decides what time it is.
Oh. He wears some sort of bracelet aside on a watch.
It's not. It's the Cullen coat of arms that all the Cullens wear.
That's stupid.
Okay. You know, he kind of stalks her. He sneaks into her room without her permission, and... You know, that's very creepy. And, you know, if a girl does that kind of stuff, it's kind of like a stage 5 clinger kind of thing, not a romantic sort of thing. And, again, I haven't seen the rest of the series, but it seems like, from what I've read and just researched recently, she's choosing between Team Edward and Team Jacob.
Well, she's not choosing a team. This isn't like Colts versus Patriots. She's choosing, it's a love triangle, if you will.
Okay.
It's Edward or Jacob.
Right.
She's not choosing the fans.
But there's never seems to be an option of neither of them. Like, I understand.
Well, you just wouldn't understand her love for them, Jim.
No. That's another thing we need to talk about.
as you said when we were watching this, all they talk about is how much they love each other. Yeah. And that's, this romance to me, it just does nothing.
It's the most boring, like, that would be the most boring relationship to be in.
But I love you so much. But it's hard for me to love you. But I love you so much. And that's the thing. Like, I get that this isn't a normal relationship. I mean, he's 108 years old and they barely know each other, so obviously this isn't gonna be,
yeah, but if this is like a higher love, then I want the regular love.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Like, I want the one where I get to have a conversation with a person,
yeah, maybe tell some jokes, yeah, and share common interests, yeah, other than how much we love each other
and how much we love stalking the other.
But we can't because it's too hard. Yeah, it's just like Ronnie on Jersey Shore. Anyway.
It is. That's what it is. It's Ronnie and Sammy, except they don't fight as much.
Or as violent.
Yeah. He kind of throws her away at one point.
Yeah. And it's just, there is no content to this relationship other than that we're in a relationship.
He just loves her so much, and that's his downfall.
It's great. Yeah, that's terrible. Bella never seems to want to leave him.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't,
she just takes this abuse. And it seems the thing about, that I usually don't like about feminist arguments that I read is that it's so female centric, which I know it's feminism, it should be. But to me, a lot of these issues are gender issues, not just female issues.
Well, yeah, just sort of looking at something and seeing a female and being like, oh, feminist. Like, that doesn't,
yeah,
that doesn't make sense to me.
No, but even, I mean, this idea that gender inequality is solely a female problem. Like, there are male stereotypes and there are female stereotypes. And even if some people are going to argue that females have it worse, which,
yeah,
sure, even if I give you that, it's not to say that, you know, male stereotypes aren't damaging or vice versa, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I just think that gender issues are a two-sided coin that very often just get framed as, like, a feminist issue, which,
yeah,
to me is silly.
Well, I mean... guys are generally better off in the gender framing, but...
Yeah, but it's not as though it's...
Yeah, no. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, cool.
Just so long as we're not like, women have it so easy.
No. That's not it at all. I think that if they do have it worse, then some of the things that they have to deal with affect males as well. And
yeah,
some of the things that, you know, the same thing, even male stereotypes,
yeah,
things about males have negative impacts on females.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I really wanted to get out of
the way.
So to develop kind of some of these ideas about male stereotypes as well, Edward kind of gives us this image of the bad boy, but as much as he abuses you, this only comes out of a place of love.
Yeah.
I think that's a very dangerous idea.
Totally dangerous.
Yeah, and this is kind of what I'm getting at about, it's not just the way that females are pictured, but the way that, you know, this male character is developed is just as dangerous for females as it is,
yeah,
for males, right?
Yeah. He's the dangerous predator. He's the guy that is stalking you. It's weird and it's bad and it's illegal.
Yeah, and every time he's telling Bella how to feel or what to do, she really should understand that this is the best for her, and he might be angry or almost violent with her, but it's out of a place of love. And to me, that's so much worse than just making a poor movie. Like, if my, say I had a teenage daughter and she was really into this movie, I'd be like, you have a poor taste in movies, but whatever, maybe,
yeah,
it'll get better someday, and like what you want to like,
yeah,
you do your thing. But it's just kind of some of the underlying messages in this movie that are so much more dangerous than the poor quality of the film,
yeah,
I find.
It's like, hey guys in high school that are noticing that all the girls are really into, or I guess not high school. High school is probably too old, but a little bit younger than high school, realizing that all the girls are into Twilight, start being a dick to girls and telling them what to do. Like,
be a total dick. Mm. Ignore their opinions. Yeah. Tell them what to do. And if they get mad at the way you're mistreating them,
it's their fault.
It's their fault. You love them so much.
It's always the woman's fault.
As we said before, it was a pretty big phenomenon that, I mean, the first movie was very successful, and the rest of them continue to be very successful.
Mm-hmm.
The books have all sold very well. We did kind of touch on that. It does kind of come and go in waves, but it never really goes away.
Right.
What is this continuing fascination with vampires?
Part of it is, I think, probably the immortality thing. Vampires are immortal, and the idea of, say, I remember in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, what little I saw of it, Angel has been alive since like the 1600s or something like that. And it's just the idea of being one age for so long and getting to see sort of the world change in front of you so many times. Like, I would think that would be really interesting. It would clearly get boring at some point, but it's sort of the idea of that. And the thing I like about vampires is not having to sleep. That would be awesome, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if that's a Twilight specific thing or like vampire type of thing that they never sleep in general, but Edward says he doesn't sleep in Twilight, and that would be so cool. Yeah. I wish I did not have to sleep.
Yeah, I think that just could have been, I know this was really wasn't Edward's story, like it's so much about Bella.
Yeah.
But I think the kind of the things like that don't really get addressed. Like two things that you just brought up, the being around for so long and never having to sleep, there'd be so much time where you're just alone or where you don't know people. I mean, the Cullens are this family, but other vampire movies that I have watched, like Interview with the Vampire, that is kind of the interesting thing about the time passing and you seeing everything changed. And I think there is a good story in, you know, everyone you grew up with and knew being dead.
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting and insanely isolating, and there's a lot to deal with there. And then kind of a similar thing, being awake when everybody's asleep, you know, what do you do? Again, it's a very isolated time where it's just yourself.
Do you know how much reading you would get now?
Yeah, you could learn awesome. Every instrument.
That's what I'm
every
saying.
Every language.
It would be so cool.
Yeah.
Like, Edward is not taking advantage of these things if this is how he's talking and he doesn't ever have to sleep and has been alive for a couple hundred years. Like, read a book, man.
Well, I think
you should have been there for the original publication of Darwin's Evolution of Species or whatever. You know, like, you should have read it first pressing.
I don't think he would have been alive then.
I don't know. I don't remember when he said he was alive.
He's 108.
Oh, is he? Oh, well.
Yeah.
Read a first print of something by Mark Twain or something instead.
Okay.
Is that, or Hemingway, which I get them mixed up. I don't read a lot of fiction, which is what Darwin's book is.
Clearly.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Evolution is a thing. Evolution is a thing.
The immortality thing's cool. What do you think the kind of the sexual element of it all is? Because that's so much about Twilight is how sexy the team. I keep saying team. How sexy Jacob and Edward are, and all this kind of stuff. What is it that girls, as we said, is, you know,
well,
the market for this?
That's taking us out of the vampires and sort of getting into teen icons. Because, like, Robert Pattinson and Taylor Lautner are not seen as sort of, like, are seen as sexy because they're vampires or werewolves, you know? It's because they're in these movies and they look like they do, you know, and that's sort of...
But True Blood's pretty sexualized.
True Blood's very sexualized, but...
There's always been a sexual element to the vampire thing. Every vampire story pretty much is about... Well, not everyone, but a lot of them are about the vampire seducing a female or a female falling in love with a vampire. It's a very common theme in most vampire stories.
You can translate that to stories in general, though.
But we don't get that with werewolves, and we don't get that with, you know, similar characters.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know, but like Twilight, it's kind of, well, it's falling in love, but they're totally in abstinence. Like, I don't think they have sex before they're married. Like, I've read things that Twilight is basically, I mean, Stephanie Meyer, I'm pretty sure, is Mormon.
She is, 100%.
Yeah, and sort of very much a Mormon mentality the book is written in.
Yeah, and she says she's not trying to make a Mormon text or to get people to become Mormons or anything, but she admits that, you know, this is who I am, these are my views. I'm not going to make a very graphic or I'm not going to make a very dark novel ever because that's just not who I am.
Yeah.
There are a couple things I can see for the sexual element of the vampires. They're not so, I guess so in this one, but they're usually rich.
Yes.
Which is nice. They are usually very well-educated, come from upper-class of society, like Count Dracula. Edward, I mean, his parents are... His dad's a doctor, and they seem pretty rich. And, yeah, those things, they're usually very, you know, classy.
Yeah.
And well-spoken and things like that.
They should be. They've been around for so long.
All that reading at night, I guess, can get you there. there's something inherently sexual about the teeth penetrating your skin. That's, again, these are just things that are, as you said, as I was trying to say before, there always has been a very strong element of sexuality to the vampire character.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess the thing about vampires is that, and I wanted to do a podcast about Twilight. I didn't really know why I wanted to do a podcast about Twilight, but I did. And as you've been listening, you can kind of tell this isn't one of our best podcasts because we don't have as much to say about it, simply because we're not interested. But the thing is, like, yeah, exactly. Like, we're not interested in this type of thing. Like, neither of us is particularly interested in vampires.
No.
Neither of us is particularly interested in this type of, like, big romance type of thing, or the big teen sensations. Rarely am I actually really interested in them. But that's the thing. I want to be interested in them. I want to know why this big collection of people want to, or care so much about it without thinking about it, whatever. They just, these twihards that they're just like, I'm Team Jacob and that's it. And like, that's kind of what I think why I wanted to do this is because I'm kind of like a vampire for that. Like, I'm isolated from this and I just sort of want to know what that experience is like.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this is like.
And all the twihards are Bella and you just can't read their minds and figure out what it is.
I love them and I love what they do for culture, but I just can't figure out what they're thinking. And it bothers me. And I always want to know, and I want to know why they're interested. And
this is why you're like violently, hatefully in love with Twilight.
I think so. They're my best friends that I've never met. But I don't know. It's just, I guess that's pretty much explains why I'm interested in Twilight outside of the fact that I'm not interested in Twilight.
Yeah, you know? you don't enjoy watching it.
No, I don't. And I hated New Moon when I was watching. There's one good scene one funny scene where she's like, I'm apart from Edward. And she's just like screaming in agony when she's lying in bed. She's like, like at the top of her lungs and like grabbing her stomach like she's been stabbed like 8 times. And her dad is just downstairs like, sitting there quietly like, oh, that's just Bella. She's just
teenager.
She's just sad that Edward left. And like, it's just like, yeah, I mean, I'm totally isolated from this type of thing. Like the type of person that wants to like these things as much as they do. Like, I don't even have a young cousin or little sister that's really big into these things, but I still am interested in it. And it's just, I can't care about it. But I want to for some reason. I don't know. I feel like anything that's sort of a big cultural thing, I feel like I should be at least partially interested in. And I'm just not. I'm just sort of just letting it go.
Yeah,
and
not even to love it, but at least to get it.
Yeah. Well, and I think I get it. It's just that I can't even be interested enough to watch the whole series.
Or the whole second movie.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, yeah. That's kind of what I'm getting at. And I don't know. Yeah. That's what's weird about Twilight to me is that I'm so curious in it, but I don't care about it at all.
So you're clearly Team Edward.
I guess.
Because you're the most like Edward.
Yeah, well, who can keep up with Jacob's abs, man?
It's tough.
I'm not doing 2,000 sit-ups a day. You crazy?
How do you keep that 19-pack, Jacob? Nice taste of shredded, bro.
I think that's...
I think that's it. Yeah. We tried our best to explain to you.
It was embarrassing, it was bad, but, you know...
We know it's shorter than the most, but we just spent 2 hours watching the movie. We didn't want to have a whole other hour.
We're emotionally drained. Thank you for listening to our Twilight podcast, which is a Twilight podcast in the truest sense because it sucked. and we'll be back next week with a podcast that is hopefully at least mediocre. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the MacGuffin Men.
This episode has been brought to you by Kentucky Fried Chicken, the only meal that can make you look like the guy who ate too many chocolate bars in 30 seconds flat.
Be sure to check out the MacGuffinMen.com for supplementary links, articles, and more. Thanks for listening.